Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A candlelight vigil following the weekend police shooting death of a Ferguson teen turned violent overnight. Demonstrators set fires, looted stores, and destroyed property. Gunshots were fired. There were many arrests. Tensions high in the community as questions about details of the shooting remain. I'm Don Marsh again. With me to talk about it all is State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal, whose district includes Ferguson. St. Louis Aldermanic President Louis Reed is also with us in studio. He was scheduled to talk about city issues today, but the Ferguson story has kind of overtaken that discussion. We'll get to some of those city issues if time allows. I want to thank the two of you for being with us. But before we begin our conversation, I want to go direct to Ferguson and Rachel Lippman, who has been on the scene of last night's disturbances virtually overnight. And she tells me that something is brewing right now. Rachel, what is going on?
Well, Don, right now, the protesters who have been out here since earlier this morning, I think about 10:30 in front of the Ferguson Police Department. Currently, everyone's trying to get them to disperse, to leave the Ferguson Police Department, stay on the sidewalk. They've been asked several times by a bullhorn on the SWAT truck to move on. There are officers from a number of different jurisdictions. St. Louis County is out here. I've seen state troopers out here. I've seen town and country police out here. They're standing right now in the middle of Florissant Road, trying to encourage these individuals to keep moving on. No one has been arrested yet, so they have been told if they do not move on, they will be arrested. There actually are a couple of people now being arrested and taken off in a St. Louis County van.
Well, what's the size of that crowd, Rachel?
I would say it's probably about maybe 35 to 40 people kind of scattered up and down the sidewalk. It was a little bit bigger earlier, probably about 60 or 70. They were marching and chanting in very much the same way that they were last night. Some have heeded the request to move on, to scatter, to keep moving. Others are agreeing or choosing instead to not move on and get arrested.
How are the officers uniformed? Are they in riot gear?
Yeah, some are wearing their masks and shields and carrying sticks. There are others who are just in regular police uniforms, I would guess probably with vests underneath, although I can't tell.
How is it unfolding in terms of tension? How would you describe that part of it?
It's not nearly as palpable as it was last night when you had the violence begin erupting, but everyone I've talked to has said that this is just going to keep spiraling the tension farther and farther up, that they're worried about interactions between the African-American community and the St. Louis County Police Department and other municipal police departments. And when they're being confronted by people in riot gear and, you know, a SWAT truck with a bullhorn on it, it just makes them feel even more unsafe, and they can't get to the fundamental issues, the tension between the community, just because of the tension that's happening. The officers are responding. I think they would tell you how they feel necessary based on what happened last night, and the community says it makes them feel safer. It's just, I think, an unfortunate aftermath of last night's riots. And what people will tell you is that the protest itself, the vigil, the march, that was all peaceful. It was a small group in the aftermath that decided to turn things violent.
There was supposed to have been a rally, I think, at 10 o'clock this morning, rally, demonstration, whatever we choose to call it, and that was called off and ordered not to be held. I assume that what you're seeing are some people who decided to go ahead and do that anyway.
Yes, and they were allowed to do it. The cops let them protest, told them they could have their say, let them gather in kind of a courtyard in front of the fire station here, and then said, we need to reopen the streets, let's move on. And that's what they're trying to encourage them to do now, to move on, to open up traffic. They have moved probably about 400, 500 feet down the sidewalk, more toward the other side of the police department now, and are still encouraging people to just kind of keep moving on.
Are we talking mostly young people as part of this crowd, or is it a mix?
It's a mixture. You're seeing a lot of different faces in the community. I've seen probably 13, 14-year-old kids all the way up to 35, 40-year residents of Ferguson.
Senator Nadal, do you have a question for Rachel? You were there yourself an hour or so ago.
I was, and I've actually been in Ferguson for the last 3 days. And what we have seen unfolding is quite disturbing. And the one thing that I will say is that young people are frustrated and they're angry and they're hurt and they're trying to figure out how to show that anger and that hurt feeling. And so one of the things I'm on the ground for is to try to redirect that energy into positive action.
Rachel, are demands being made by members of this crowd?
There have been some demands issued. They want to know the identity of the Ferguson officer who shot and killed Michael Brown. They want that officer fired from the force immediately, and they also want him charged with murder. They want Bob McCullough to charge him with murder. That is going to be the next location of a protest. I've heard them say 10 o'clock tomorrow morning in Clayton at Bob McCullough's office.
All right. Well, that's, I guess, what we know is going to be next. Is there anything else that you know of that you expect to be taking place over the next hours?
Well, I'm watching a youth get arrested right in front of me now. I don't know the cause of it. I don't know what precipitated this. He was running his bike up and down the sidewalk. I don't know if he was told to stop or was antagonizing the cops in some way, shape, or form. But he's been arrested. There are leaders here trying to keep the crowd calm, telling people, just keep moving. Keep moving to the next location. They can't be everywhere. Just keep moving. They're attempting to talk to the officers, talk to the crowd, just saying, calm down. Let's not start this again. Keep walking.
Any sense that that is working at all?
They are getting people to keep moving down Florissant, down towards, I think it's 270 over there. Whether or not they will ever get this crowd to completely disperse, I don't know. There's been pretty much constant protests, or at least constant vigils, in front of the Ferguson Police Department since Michael Brown was killed on Saturday.
Well, you have plenty to do. Is there anything you want to add before we say goodbye to you and you go down with your reporting?
I think we're good. Thanks, Don.
Okay, Rachel. Good job on your part all day and all night. We appreciate the work that you've been doing. Thank you. That's Rachel Lippman of St. Louis Public Radio reporting from Ferguson, scene of all that trouble last night. Now back to our guests in studio. Senator Nadal is with us, also Lewis Reed, president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. A quick take from you, Lewis Reed, with regard to your thoughts watching this thing unfold over the weekend.
You know, over the weekend, I had an opportunity to go down to the press conference that was supposed to be at the police headquarters. And had an opportunity to talk to a number of the protesters down there. And it's my sense that there is a, you know, as the senator stated earlier, just a huge void and gap in trust between the community and the department. And, you know, because when you think about the, you know, the core of this story, what it has is at the core of it is a young man that either was running away from the police officer or either standing with his hands up. And, you know, that universal signal of surrender, I think, is what strikes at the core of this, and that it was ignored in this case, or reportedly ignored. I don't know how you want to put it, but we now have a young man that is that was moving on, graduated out of high school, going on to college, and he's been taken away much too soon.
Senator, could you sense? You say you've been there for the last couple of days.
Absolutely.
Could you sense that something like this was going to happen? It had all the earmarks of what we've seen in so many other communities all during the day yesterday.
I started out on Saturday afternoon in the Canfield neighborhood where I read to kids, incidentally. There's a school over there. And I was around young people. I mean, if you want to talk about hundreds of young people, that is the predominant group of people who are out and who are outraged right now. They literally saw this young man killed. They literally saw him with his hands up and him being on his knees. Mm-hmm. And he was in the surrender position. And he said, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. And a lot of these young people, you have to understand that they are often intimidated by the police and other authority figures.
Forgive me for saying this, but it almost sounds to me like you see some justification in what happened last
Absolutely
night.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I condone all of the actions that happened last night. And let me set the record straight, too. We had two vigils last night. There was one that everyone in the world has heard about. And there was a second one, the one that I was at, that was right in front of the police station and the fire station. And it was completely peaceful. And we had young people. We had people of all ages, white and black, who were all concerned. We saw police cars and firefighters leaving the department, and we kept talking about how we felt. I wanted to get, it was so important to me, Don, to get this energy, the negative energy, out of the system of these young people, because they're displaced right now. Their feelings are displaced, and we have to figure out how to redirect that negative tension that they have inside to positive action. And so that's what happened last night at the second vigil that no one is talking about.
We can pick up on that point, but we understand that Mayor James Knowles of Ferguson is with us on the phone now. Mayor, are you there?
Yes.
Thanks so much for being with us, and so sorry to about what happened in your community last night. How do you keep the lid on? Apparently there's some more restiveness downtown right now.
There's a group of people. It started as a very peaceful protest earlier today, and we encouraged people to come, and as the senator mentioned, you know, give them an outlet to vent some of their frustration. It's needed at this point. We wanted it to be done in a constructive manner. Unfortunately, after the clergy had asked this group to go ahead and proceed on to their next venue, there are some people that have stayed around and are now trying to antagonize the police. And as it's been said before, this is a small group of people. There's a lot of people out here trying to vent frustration, and they're hurting. But there's some people that are taking advantage of this and trying to cause a problem, and that's what we see out in front right now.
Well, what are your next steps in view of all this happened and is happening?
Well, we've been working with other leaders, and I know there's going to be some meetings over the next few days to try and start talking about a way forward, getting to the bottom of what the root of this problem is. Obviously, this is a horrible incident in which a young man lost his life. There should be no need anywhere for a young man to lose his life. And we need to start talking about bridging that gap between law enforcement and the young people in the community. And so we'll be moving forward with that. But first, we have to keep our citizens here safe, and we need to keep our businesses safe, and we need to preserve the community that we have here and not let it be overrun, primarily by people from outside of our community who's been perpetrating this.
It would seem to me that one of the ways to help keep the lid on would be to have some quick answers to actually what happened there. We have so many different kinds of reports. I would have to assume that that's something you'd be very much in favor of.
Absolutely. We need to have an answer to this. The faster, the better. But, justice must be done. So we have to give this officer due process. We do have to, continue on and allow the investigation to go on as long as it's needed. I would encourage it to be as fast as possible. And then once we have the actual findings of the investigation, then we should be talking about that. If you talk to the people in that area, and I've talked to hundreds who have called me and threatened my life and everything else, they say they saw what happened. There's 100 different versions of what happened. Until the information is found for sure, we really can't know. And so I think people need to have calm and realize that we're out here for the betterment of the community, and destroying it is not going to help.
Did you have any sense yesterday during the course of the day that something such as what transpired last night could be in the making?
No. In fact, I don't think, I think as the senator mentioned again, there was a great, very peaceful prayer protest, prayer vigil held at the police department. I didn't see anything like this happening. I knew there was another prayer vigil. I had hoped that it would have remained a solemn event, and unfortunately it wasn't. Again, it was perpetrated, or rather infiltrated, by people who are looking to cause problems, people who are trying to antagonize the police. This young man's mother, his family, and other people in the community are there grieving. They're trying to find serenity in this issue and what happened. They're trying to find peace. And other people are trying to disturb it. And whether they're angry or not, we all have anger and we all have issues. We need to learn to deal with it. This is not constructive. It's not constructive for the community. It only leads to more destruction for their own community, which is why I'm confident that the people who did this last night are not from around here. They would not do this to their own community.
Just one second. We have Lewis Reed here with a question.
Don, one of the things I think is important to note, and that's what the mayor just said, that the mother took an active role the first day in helping calm the crowd, right? And I think that was significant, especially given, how much that she was, out of everybody on the planet, was grieving more than anybody. And she worked to try to calm the crowd the first day also, and I think that was She should be commended for
she
that.
She should be commended, unfortunately.
That's tough to do.
Unfortunately, so, it didn't work, but certainly she should be commended. Mayor, I know your time is limited. What is your strategy for the rest of the day and for tonight?
Well, we have the protest march outside has ended. We are trying to disperse some of the people who have stayed behind to try to antagonize the law enforcement. We're hoping that tonight, I know that the mother of the victim has asked for people not to congregate, has asked that people try and not create more situations where people may antagonize a large group of people into some sort of antisocial behavior. I'm hoping that people will heed that advice. If you felt that you need to congregate, I know there are congregations of churches who are asking people to come in, pray, talk, have conversations. I think those are constructive ways for everyone to do that, and I would encourage people to do that. But being out on the streets at this point is not going to be constructive.
You have some outsiders coming in. Reverend Al Sharpton is coming in tonight, from what I understand, or within the next day or so. Does this help or hinder the overall operation?
Well, it all depends on the Reverend's message. I was just outside with a group of African-American mayors from North County here and clergy who have asked him to stay away. And they've asked him that because we're fearful that of two things. Number one, that his coming may incite more people to congregate, and congregating again will probably lead to people infiltrating a peaceful demonstration, for some sort of subversive activity. Second, this is about this poor young man and his life. His life has been taken. The mother's grieving. It's not about anybody else. It's not about Reverend Sharpton, and it's surely not about anything else that's been going on. This young man needs to have justice for him, and we need to let the process play out. And we don't need anybody taking the focus off of this tragedy.
Well, Mayor, I want to thank you so much for being with us. That's Mayor James Knowles of Ferguson. Good luck to you and your community as this unfolds. I hope it's a lot better for you than it was last night.
Thank you very much. And I also want to thank Lewis, who's a good friend, and Maria, Senator Chappelle Adele, who have been out here helping as well. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll come back and continue our conversation in just a moment. We have to take a break. As you just heard, Lewis Reed, president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen, is with us in studio, as is 14th District State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal. We'll come back and continue the conversation. We'll also bring St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum into the discussion. That happens after this break. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on the events in Ferguson over the last couple of days. But first, our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is continuing to follow those events unfolding there. Reporters are covering rallies and press conferences and speaking to business owners whose stores were looted and damaged last night. Governor Jay Nixon has called on the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate Saturday's fatal police shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown. And on our website, we have a live blog with up-to-the-minute details about the Ferguson shooting. Join us this afternoon on air at 90.7 KWMU and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation on those events we were just talking about. My guests in studio are State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal, Lewis Breed, president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. We'll get to Jason Rosenbaum in just a minute. He's from St. Louis Public Radio. But first, we want to clarify something. I think perhaps you misspoke, Senator Nadal, a moment ago, and people want a clarification on that.
Absolutely. All of the actions that occurred last night, I do condemn. I don't condone. I condemn. The community is trying to express themselves in a peaceful way. The people who I have been with for the last 3 days, including today, they want transparency, they want justice, and the folks who live in the Ferguson area and the surrounding areas, they feel as though the actions that were taken last night completely took focus off of why we are protesting and we are assembling. We want to focus on Michael Brown and his family. And so when they decided to do those violent acts last night, ridiculous acts that only harm the black community and the community around Ferguson, that takes focus off, and it makes us look like we're unorganized and we don't know how to keep our own house clean.
You know, I have to say, I saw some video of you this morning carrying a cardboard cutout of Governor Nixon, and written on the forehead is MIA again. And the things that you were saying, this was at the site. And it seemed to me that that was not necessarily something that was likely to calm people, but perhaps to incite them to further action of some sort.
Yes, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. And let me tell you why. Because I'm spending so much time with young people, they don't understand the political process. They don't understand about their part in democracy. Going to council meetings, they don't know who their council people are or who their mayor is. And they have a complete disconnect. So part of that is because of a lack of education, which is a big deal. And the governor and I are hitting heads on the issue of education. As you know, Mike Brown just graduated from the Normandy High School in the Normandy School District, or Collaborative now. And that is the baseline. That is the baseline, is education for these kids. And because they have a lack of good quality education, they're making assumptions. Some of their options, their actions are wrong. And I want it to be there for them. I am there for them so I can redirect them in the right place. And so I have this Jay Nixon, Flat Jay, I call him, because he is missing in action. He's been missing in action on education issues, and he's missing in action. He's not even come to the ground. He hasn't come to Ferguson. He hasn't talked to these families. He hasn't talked to these kids. And these kids have so much hate and hurt in their heart. They don't know who Jay Nixon is. And so for the entire community, black and white, we're upset that he is not talking. He is not holding hands. He is not understanding the predicament, the social aspects and the economic aspects of this community. He doesn't understand, and he doesn't want to listen. He doesn't even listen to legislators.
But I wonder if, getting back to your presence there this morning with this, if that is helpful or harmful potentially to what's been going on there the last 24 hours.
I believe in raising the consciousness of everyone in my district.
Even today, following what happened yesterday.
Absolutely.
Getting people
riled
up.
We have a right to assemble. And, you know, here's the problem. Yes, I'm getting people riled up. And you know why? Did you see the voter turnout the last several years? The last several years, people don't turn out to vote. And so when we talked about that last night at our peaceful vigil that was at the police station, we asked the question, are you getting out to vote? Did you vote for Charlie Dooley? And most people aren't even voting. So it starts right there. It's political education. It's education in the schools. It's economic education. I mean, all of these things are important to address when it comes to young people. And that's why I'm out there, because I'm raising the consciousness of everyone. They need to know who their leaders are who are not responding to their needs.
You were reacting when I was talking to the mayor about Al Sharpton's coming in. Are you for or against someone like Mr. Sharpton, Reverend Sharpton, coming in from out of town and getting involved?
That is what Reverend Sharpton does. I will tell you, in our community, what I have been witnessing, especially yesterday, there is a complete disconnect between the older generation and these young people. And the best example, when the mayor was talking about the clergy coming in for the prayer vigil, you know, those adults were pretty intimidating to the young people. They have a different style and a different approach. And one lady said, get out of the street, get out of the street. Well, we had been in the street all day long, and they had not been there. The clergy coalition came in, and they left, and the kids were still there. And so they got into the kids' faces yesterday and said, get out of the street, when the street was blocked by the police, and the police allowed us to stop the traffic. And I got between some of the clergy folks and the kids, and I said, leave them alone. They are doing a peaceful demonstration. Let them be. This is the way they want to communicate, to get out all of that bad energy. Leave them alone. If you want to go ahead and pray, go ahead and pray. But these kids prayed, and they said, I prayed once, and I don't want to pray again. That's what my kids were saying yesterday. They are not listening to many of the adults, and that's why someone has to be on their level to maintain control and peace.
Let's read. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think as in when we look at this, number one, this is a tragedy, not just for the family, not just for the Friends, but our entire community and the United States. But, you know, we have to take this moment to look at what drove us here, right? You look at the rate of unemployment amongst young African-American men, the fact that one in three African-American men without a high school education is behind bars now. As African-Americans, we represent 12.3% of the population and 44% of the prison population. All of those things, all those socioeconomic factors, I think one of the things that we saw here is that they've come to a boiling point when you have, you have a community that is distrustful of the quote-unquote system. But we have an opportunity to fix this and bring people back together again, and I think that that's what we all need to focus on. We need to, number one, get some people out front that these young people listen to, like the senator was saying. So if that means that we have to contact and get Nelly and get all of these, all the folks that they will listen to, right? And we need to begin to deliver a unified message. Whoever it is, it doesn't matter, that delivers the message. It's the message that we're looking for. And making sure that these kids stay connected to and they have a hope for tomorrow.
Go ahead, Senator.
One quick point to just prove what I'm saying. So at the other vigil, prayer vigil yesterday, Charlie Dooley was speaking. I wasn't there. I was at the peaceful vigil. And he was speaking. He said, please don't do this. And what I heard this morning is everyone was singing Kumbaya. And then he kept talking. And then he just raised his hand up and walked away after he was trying to maintain peace. They're not listening to older people, period. If you were in the 60s, they're not listening to you. They're in the day of future, Eminem. They're not listening to the older people at all. And that's why younger people have to be out and have to be on their level.
All right. Thank you for that. And point well taken, Senator Rendell. Now I want to turn to Jason Rosenbaum, who's been waiting patiently here. And we have to go back to an earlier part of the discussion, Jason. You have spent part of the morning at St. Louis County Police Headquarters.
Yes.
Yeah. And well, tell us what you found out there.
Well, as you mentioned, they're getting the Department of Justice involved in kind of a separate investigation than what's going on with the St. Louis County Police Department. Well, not to get too technical, but Ferguson and St. Louis County Police Department are separate entities. And because an officer-involved shooting occurred, the Ferguson Department asked St. Louis County Police Department to investigate. And while we didn't get a lot of specifics, we didn't get the name of the officer, which was, you know, asked about, we did get a sense that this is going to be a very complicated and thorough investigation. There are still lots of people to talk to before any decision is made about indictments or anything of that sort. And you know, it's a very, very tense situation.
Any sense of urgency there to get some answers as quickly as possible? Because that's what people want. People don't really know what happened, and that could potentially diffuse the situation that is still fairly volatile.
I think there is kind of that tension there that people, the community, members of the media, the general public want to know what happened here, but a lot of things have to occur before a definitive, declarative thing is turned over either to Bob McCullough, the prosecuting attorney, or any federal investigators. And, you know, that's what basically the message that was conveyed both by Chief Belmar of the St. Louis County Police Department, as well as St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley, that, you know, they're going to try to do things as quickly as possible, but there's still a lot of people to talk to and a lot of things to do before they make any determination.
Are they saying anything more about the shooting itself? One of the questions that I have is whether or not this young man was shot in the back.
They did not give any information about that, not from what I recall.
It was a frontal. From everything I've heard on the street, it's been a frontal thing.
Yeah. They emphasized to us that they were speaking in generalities about the investigation. They weren't going to give specifics until it was completed. So,
here's a point. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Here's a point that keeps coming up that none of the media has talked about. When I've been talking to these kids, the individual, I think a 15-year-old girl, took the entire video, and her cell phone was taken by the police, and then she was arrested. And yesterday, she was still in jail. And that's out on the street, and that's what people are talking about right now, and they feel as though there's some cover-up. Is it true? I don't know. But every single circle of kids that I'm talking to, they're upset about this. And so that's why they feel that as though they are being attacked. This is not about older people. This is about children. This is one of their own people being killed.
But you've just reinforced the whole point that the need for some quick answers to this.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we're going to have another night like we had last night. If rumors, if in fact it is a rumor and not fact, are continuing
to spread. And there's been plenty of rumors here. Yes, President.
Yeah, you know, for rumors to take root the way they are right now, I think first thing that has to happen is silence or lack of information. That allows rumors to continue. So like the senator said and Jason underscored, we need to get some information out, some good solid information out. The people need to know what direction we're taking, not we, but the department is taking. There needs to be an independent investigation, as you know, now to this morning we're finding out that the feds are coming in and they're going to do it. I think that that's good. We need to expedite this.
Yeah. Anything else you learned this morning, Jason, that is new to this whole saga?
Well, I think from yesterday, I remember watching that police press conference, mm-hmm. and I got a sense just from watching the social media reaction that there really was this disconnect by the people that say they saw the shooting and the official police explanation. The police gave the explanation that there was some sort of struggle, and I don't think anybody has really corroborated that. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. That's why there's an investigation. Mm-hmm. I think that sort of distrust between the two entities kind of is still brewing, essentially.
That should be fairly easy to ascertain.
Yeah.
We have the officer. They talk to the officer and say they want to talk to him again. It's been almost 48 hours.
Yeah. It would be – to figure out that information definitively would not only be helpful to the – people like me and the general public, but to everybody in Ferguson right now.
It's critical.
I clearly agree.
But the other part to that is that they said there was a struggle, mm-hmm. right? And then the kid was actually shot 35 feet away from the car. And then the other friend was running. So in that instance, it seems like there was a struggle over at the car. If indeed there was a struggle, right, for it to move 35 feet away, and the kid gets shot 35 feet away, it seems as though.
Yeah, and those are the types of questions that I think are still
unanswered. Those are the big holes.
Exactly.
That really makes it.
Quickly, Senator. Go ahead.
There's no quick. I'm a senator.
Well, I'll tell you what, Senator. I'm the host of this show, and I'm going to take a break, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay.
We have to do that. We'll do that now. Okay. Come back. We have a number of phone calls. I want to get to them. Another point I want to make with Jason Rosenbaum in just a second, too. But let's take the break. We'll come back and continue our conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation on the troubles in Ferguson over the weekend. And Senator Nadal, let me come back to you. I interrupted with that break. What was it you wanted to say?
Well, one of the things that the chief of police in St. Louis County said is that the scene covered about 35 feet. And the question that people aren't asking is what precipitated this interaction between Mike Brown and the police officer in the first place? And what caused Mike Brown to be in the police car, his upper body in the police car, and then him being out of the police car, and then being in a position where he's surrendering and then being shot on top of that? So that's what people are questioning.
How big a kid is Michael Brown?
He's a tall kid.
200 pounds?
Yeah, I would say so, or 180.
Yeah, he was termed as a gentle giant by the Post-Dispatch.
I knew that, but kids, even young kids, can be intimidating. We have to point that out.
Right.
If they're a couple hundred pounds and big. Jason, one question for you with regard to this part of it. Was there any discussion this morning on the use of force continuum and what the policies are with regard to use of force?
No, not on that particular aspect, though I did ask the chief whether this is going to be – there's going to be a discussion about racial profiling and the interactions between the police and the community. I mean, I don't think we know the race of the officer here, but I still think that this issue of African-American, especially youth, being – disproportionately stopped by police.
Well, he's Caucasian. The police officer is identified as Caucasian.
Well, I haven't heard that for sure. But my point is the chief said that he hopes this does spur a deeper, more thoughtful discussion within the community of St. Louis County and the region. And I think after the events of last night, over the last few days, I think it will. So
let me many people don't know North County very well, and they associate North County as being like St. Louis City, where there's a lot of racial divide. But in North County, it's quite unique because white and black are – we operate together. I mean, we go to the same restaurants together. We don't experience that great divide in North County as people would like to show. Now, there are some racial problems indeed, but for folks who've been around for generations, and we live together, and we don't, you know, try to fight. We don't do that.
Let me pursue that point with Dennis Ferguson of Zisser Tire, which is a business out in that community which suffered some damage last night. Dennis, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thanks very much for being with us. What happened at your place last night?
Well, the crowd moved up there, busted out all the glass, and stole everything they could get their hands on out of the showroom, tires and wheels. Although I don't know what they'll do with it since they were all single units. They didn't get a set. So I guess they really can't put it on anything or use it since it was only individual pieces instead of a complete unit. Either way, the important thing that I wanted to say was that these people who did this action don't represent the community there.
Absolutely.
And, yes.
Absolutely.
I don't want anyone to get the idea that it's all some bad, terrible area. These are bad people. Right. We're all in this together. And the nice thing I also wanted to say was some of our local patrons who live nearby actually went up there last night because they saw this on the news. And they went in there and they picked up some stuff and some car keys from the vehicles in there. And they held them so they wouldn't get stolen. And they brought them back to us this morning. So that's what would you say, a great thing for the local community. And I also wanted to say that, yeah, we're heavily damaged there. I really can't do any repair work or sell tires today because all the windows and everything are busted out. But my wholesale operation for wholesaling tires, which we sell to other tire stores, that's still operational. We're still delivering. And we have no plans to leave the area. And I'm personally very sorry for this poor mother. My heart goes out to her to have anything happen like this to her son. And I'm very sorry to hear that this happened. But I don't want the whole community to be scarred about this.
Just to clarify, Dennis, are you saying that the people who did this to your place of business and others are not representative of the community or not members of the community?
Oh, I'm sure plenty of them live in the area, but they don't represent the community, no. Mm-hmm.
But what's next for your operation? How quickly can you get back? And do you have a dollar estimate on the amount of damage?
No, I can't give you anything on that at this time.
All right. Well, Dennis Ferguson, I beg your pardon?
Yes, Dennis Ferguson, Zisser Tire. We're on the corner of Chambers and West Florissant, 9990 West Florissant.
You know, I would call that a commercial, Dennis, but that's all right. I also think that the things you had to say about the community are important for everyone to hear. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right.
Lewis Reed?
Yeah, I just want to thank Dennis for his kind words. I think that that was right on point because one of the things that he showed that that wasn't the community as a whole and that, you know, the community came around that local business to make sure that local business was safe.
I just want to touch on something the senator said. I had the pleasure to report a lot in North County on city-county merger issues and meet a lot of people and visit some of these municipalities. And I just, including in Ferguson as well, and you know, the stereotype that it's just, you know, criminality or poor is just totally off base.
Totally.
And there are some, you know, beautiful people and beautiful houses there beautiful communities that I've been there. I just want to underscore that because I can't emphasize that enough.
We live together and, you know, we are close families, black and white. The folks who were out last night, black and white. And when I kept saying the black community, you had a white couple to put the black power sign up. last night. I mean, that is an example of the community that I represent. It was beautiful.
There is a tendency in situations like this to make it always make it a racial situation. You know, a lot of references to Trayvon Martin in connection with this case, and that, you know, that has all sorts of signals that are being sent by doing it that way. And that's oftentimes a mistake. We have a white officer, we have a black victim, a black youth. And then it becomes a racial confrontation as opposed to something that went wrong, and we still don't know the details.
Now, we still need some African-American officers on that police force.
But more importantly, I think what we are seeing here is some people that feel disenfranchised or not connected to, you know, that department or that city as a whole. So, it's race just because you have, this collection of people that happens to feel unconnected with what's going on. I think what we need to look at in the aftermath of this is how do we increase communications between that department and create better relationships between that department and the community as a whole. But I don't think we need to just isolate it at that department. I think that this is something that's universal.
Yes.
You look at some of the challenges we have here in the city in terms of getting to the bottom of or solving crimes, right? Part of the challenge is getting people to come forward with information, but they don't because they don't feel comfortable or connected.
The real challenge is we talk this way after incidents like this.
Yes.
The question is, do we follow up and learn from it?
Right. Yeah. And that's what I talked about last night. Mm-hmm. You know, there were 3 murders yesterday in St. Louis City. And I had a shooting a block from my house 2 weeks ago, and we don't have big crowds like this going on. There's a black man shot every single day. Where is the outrage?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's take some calls. We have a number of people. I want to get as many in as we can in the time that remains. We'll start with Marianne calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Marianne.
Well, I was there this morning for the rally, and I just wanted to add to the demands that, yes, people are asking that the name of the officer be disclosed and that he be charged. But they also are asking that the Ferguson Police Department protocol handbook be distributed throughout the Ferguson community. It's very interesting to me that the handbook doesn't seem to be available to the community. And they're saying something like 51 police officers, 3 are black. That's the numbers that we're talking about. And the police department simply should reflect the racial demographics of the community, which is 30%, maybe 40% black.
Marianne, thank you for the call. I'm interrupting because our time is a consideration, but Senator, that's making your point.
Absolutely,
making your point as well. Let's bring in Catherine calling from Ferguson. Catherine, thank you for being with us. Go ahead.
Having me, I just wanted to say that the mayor characterized the crowd as antagonizing, and that was not the case. I was there after being over at the QT helping to clean up, and the crowd was not antagonizing the police officers at all. The other thing is I was encouraged at the QT. It was a group of young people spearheaded by a young woman by the name of Erica Hampton, who had called for people to come and help clean up. And unfortunately, there were more people looking instead of cleaning, but I was encouraged that a young person decided to take some responsibility and work and help make things better in the community. But just, I think it's important that the leaders remember that the words they use and shapes the narrative that's given. And I'll take comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Anyone like to respond to our caller?
You know, first of all, I am so grateful that people are calling in. And I believe that we as a community, a region, have been too quiet. And we need to be active and engaged at every single level for my constituents not to know who their council person is or the mayor, the name of these people, to not know when the meetings are held is a disgrace. And so that's why I want to get people riled up, because I want them to be active.
We have an emailer who wants to know if a curfew should be called tonight to kind of stem the tide or the momentum?
I will tell you, last night people said that they're going to turn Ferguson into a martial law state, and people are scared of that right now. And they're, you know, hearing about tanks coming in and all these different law enforcement. I mean, it's just a bad situation.
It's not your favorite subject. I know you've indicated that with regard to Governor Nixon, but he's called for a separate investigation of this.
Yeah, well, good for him for saying something. He doesn't talk to the legislature ever.
Well,
you know, he doesn't step foot into North County. When he vetoes a bill, an education bill, he does it in South County where there are no black kids.
I get the political overtones here, but what about the independent investigation? Are you in favor of that?
Yeah, I want a transparent investigation. That is the demand of the community. If it's a independent investigation, I don't have any opposition to that. I have full faith in St. Louis County Police because they have done remarkable work. These are people who I do ride-alongs with, and I think they're honorable people.
I'll take one more call, and then time will be up, I think. Suzanne in St. Louis, make it a fast question or comment, please.
Thank you, Don. I just, my issue is on the racial side of things. I attended a prayer vigil on Sunday and was really shocked to find myself as the only non-African-American there. And it was a peaceful group, a prayer group, calling for nonviolence and certainly investigation into this. But I was so sad because...
I think, Suzanne, again, time is a consideration here, and Senator Nadal, I think, is taking exception to what you've said. But, Senator, make it quick, please.
There are a lot of Caucasians at the prayer vigil. I was there from 11 o'clock to midnight yesterday, and, again, we ended the night with a white couple doing the black power sign last mm-hmm. night. So if that's not cool, I don't know what is.
Don, you know, I think the caller's name was Suzanne or whatever. But, you know, first thing is thanks to her for showing up, for being there, for getting engaged, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people from all over, no matter what your race, creed, or color is, to get involved and get engaged in this situation. And then making sure that at the end of the day, we do not take focus away from the main fact at hand here, and that's that we had an 18-year-old kid that was, you know, taken away much too early. And we need to make sure that we get a good investigation back that speaks to what the people, what the, you know, what both sides and everybody needs to see, and that's that all the facts bear out one way or the other.
We only have a minute left. Hey, Jason, anything you want to add before we say goodbye?
No, other than just to keep Michael Brown's family's thoughts in our prayers. Absolutely.
Senator Nadal, a final thought, but it'll have to be a 30-second thought.
We have to act in a positive manner. We have to have actions that result in outcomes that respect not only this community, but young people. Young people have to be our focus.
Are you going back out there today?
I am going back out, and I believe in staying among the people.
All right. And Lewis Reed, you're sort of watching this from afar, but it's not that far.
No, I've been involved in it, not as much as the senator. She's been on the ground the whole time. You know, I've attended some of the events, and I will be involved in it, you know, all the way through to the end. I think that we're lucky here in St. Louis. I think we have a great police department. I think that they do a great job. And the senator spoke to the Ferguson Police Department. And we need to begin to mend the divide that exists within our communities.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And maybe that can be made today. Yeah. That's Lewis Reed. You just heard from him, president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. We have 14th District State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal with us in studio. Also with me in studio is Jason Rosenbaum of St. Louis Public Radio. My thanks to Dennis Ferguson of Sisser Tire and Auto for being with us, and for Mayor James Knowles also being with us on this program. Also, Rachel Lippman, who was with us at the very outset. Thank you all for being with us. Let the discussion continue. That's it for this day, folks. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about any developments in the situation of the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson. And we'll talk about and with young professionals in the community and how they are making a difference. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.